In him there is no lack. And we have to declare it with our mouth, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? So even if we're not there yet, that's okay. We still declare it. And we still declare over our finances. Because our dad owns a cattle on a thousand hills, which back, I mean, then it meant a lot. It's a lot. It's not really terminology we speak with today. But so here's the thing. It's in Isaiah and Song of Solomon, and I don't know. So Kathy shared last week about it being like 50, what did you say, Kathy? 57 something? Right. Challenged me to read in Isaiah 54. And I've been reading it, and actually this has been a hard scripture for me, because God gave it to me 16 years ago before I moved here. And I thought it meant something completely different. Like, my vision, my mindset, what it was going to be is, right, like, it was before I was coming back to do youth ministry, and I just thought it was going to, like, blow up, and it was going to be, and, like, just all these things that I had created in my mind. And I'll be honest, I felt like none of that happened. Or, sorry, not that none of it happened, but it didn't happen to the scale that I thought it was going to happen. And so I've kind of stayed away from this scripture, not, like, you know, completely avoiding it, but I remember it's probably been a couple years ago now, I was at this place and this scripture was, they asked me to read the scripture, and I couldn't read it. Like, I was like, no, I can't do this right now. But this morning this week I've been thinking about it and reading it, and it says, shout for joy. Oh, I'm sorry, Isaiah 54, starting in chapter 1. I'm in the New American Standard this morning. I'm not sure why, but that's where I'm at. Shout for joy, O barren one. You have borne no child. Now, children were, especially in this time, were, right, like that, if you couldn't have children, it was a huge deal. Like, it was... way different then than it is now. And, right, so God is saying, shout for joy, O barren one who have borne no child. Now, I looked up the word barren. Not producing or incapable of producing offspring. So I find it interesting that God's saying, shout for joy, not after you've had children, but right here, right now. He's speaking to the barrenness, and he's saying, shout for joy, O barren one who have borne no child. Break forth into joyful shouting and cry aloud who have not travailed. For the sons of the desolate one will be more numerous than the sons of the woman, married woman, says the Lord. Now, I looked up the word desolate. Of a place, deserted of people and in a state of bleak and dismal emptiness. Emptiness. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch out the curtains of your dwellings and spare not. Now, God is saying, you who are barren, you who are not able to produce, you who are in a desolate state, emptiness, like no sign of life, no sign of reproducing, no sign of any of that. And here's what he's instructing. Stretch out, enlarge the place of your tent. Lengthen your cords, strengthen your pegs, for you will spread abroad to the right and to the left, and your descendants will possess nations. My descendants, I can't even bear children. How am I going to have descendants that are going to do anything? And will resettle the desolate cities, the emptiness, the places that have been left for ruin. My descendants will resettle those places. Ha! Fear not, for you will not be put to shame. Fear not, for you will not be put to shame. And do not feel humiliated, for you will not be disgraced. But you will forget the shame of your youth, and the reproach of your widowhood you will remember no more. For your husband is your maker, whose name is the Lord of hosts, and your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel, who is called the God of all the earth, for the Lord has called you. God is giving the children of Israel hope. He's saying, I know this is what it feels like. I know this is where a place that it feels like you're living in is barrenness and emptiness and desolate cities, and the your enemy has come and has laid waste of those things. But I am saying to you, children of Israel, in your barren state, in the desolate state, do something. I'm asking you to enlarge your tent pegs, to move out, to prepare for me to make room, for prepare for me to change the situation and to change what is going on. Make room and allow me to come and to fulfill my promises that have said that that your descendants will be more than that of anyone who has ever been fruitful. And he's saying, don't feel humiliated, for you will not be disgraced. Those stupid choices, those things that you did over and over, he's saying to the children of Israel, where you denied me, where you will not feel humiliated, you will not be disgraced, but you will forget the shame of your youth and the reproach of your widowhood. You will remember no more. For your husband is your maker. He says, for a brief moment I forsook you, but with great compassion I will gather you. In an outburst of anger I hid my face from you for a moment, but with everlasting loving kindness I will have compassion on you. Everlasting. For this is like the days of Noah to me, when I swore that the waters of Noah would not flood the earth again. So I have sworn that I will not be angry with you, nor will I rebuke you. For the mountains may be removed and the hills may shake, but my loving kindness will not be removed from you. Everything else around you can be falling apart and shaken and moved and all of that, but my loving kindness will not be removed from you, and my covenant of peace will not be shaken. His promises. So important. And this morning I just really felt like this whole entire time what I should have been doing with this scripture, instead of staying away from it, I should have been holding it out in front of me and before him, and reminding him, not that he needs to be reminded, but that I need to be reminded of the promises and the things that he has promised you and I. Because in him, and in him there is no lack. And I really feel like the places in our lives where we feel like we're lacking, it's where we're seeing ourselves and looking at ourselves and not looking at him. Because in him, the barren woman can sing and rejoice, for her descendants will inhabit desolate. I don't know if they connect, but this one, I'm in Song of Solomon now. Who is this one? Look at her now. She arises out of her desert, clinging to her beloved. When I awakened you under the apple tree as you were feasting upon me, I awakened your innermost being with the travail of birth as you longed for more of me. Fasten me upon your heart as a seal of fire forevermore. This living, consuming flame will seal you as my prisoner of love. My passion is stronger than the chains of death and the grave. All consuming is the very flashes of fire from the burning heart of God. Place this fierce, unrelenting fire over your entire being. Rivers of pain and persecution will never extinguish this flame. It will stop at nothing. As you yield everything to this ferocious fire until it won't even seem to you like a sacrifice anymore. I'm in the Passion Translation. Song of Solomon 8. Yes, starting at verse 5. There's a lot packed in there that I'm not going to unpack this morning. Because, oh man. Like, the ferociousness of his love and the fire of his love, it really is all consuming. If we let it be. If we let it be. He doesn't desire us to be barren. He doesn't desire us to be desolate. He doesn't desire us to live in lack. It's not what we were created for. We were created for incredible things. We were created for relationship with the uncreated one. We were created by love, for love. So God, I thank you for this morning, and I ask that you show us how to shout for joy right where we are, right in the midst of where we are, and whatever is going on this morning. God, I ask that you remind us of who you are. And as we go throughout this day and the days ahead, God, that we would be reminded of the words that you have spoken to us. That we would be reminded of those things that you have promised us. And that we would shout for joy. I thank you, God, that your promise for us is yes and amen. Your promises are that we are the head and not the tail. We are above and not beneath. We are sons and daughters. Show us what it looks like to extend our tent pegs. Show us what it looks like, God, exactly how to make room for you to move and to do what you want to do. Because, God, nobody desires to be barren. Nobody desires to be fruitless. No, I mean, that's not anybody's. So, God, show us what that looks like here and now.